This episode is brought to you by the official coffee of the Chromecast podcast, Fresh Roasted Coffee, who we've partnered with to make a special edition Chrome Unboxed anniversary blend. Here at Chrome Unboxed, we're not just nerdy about Chromebooks, we're also coffee snobs. And look, we wasted a lot of time hand roasting coffee before we found Fresh Roasted Coffee, and we haven't looked back since. This coffee is roasted fresh to order, immediately packaged, nitrogen flushed, and shipped directly to your door. And although we can't officially say that this Chrome Unboxed edition tastes any better than the normal anniversary blend, that is the word around town. But don't just take our word for it. Pick up a bag for yourself and let us know what you think. You can grab a bag over at chromeunboxed.com/coffee. Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Chromecast. Today, we have an interview episode with Zach Alcorn, who is a product manager at Google working on gaming for Chrome OS. We wanted to have Zach on to talk about Steam on Chromebook entering beta. It was a really fun conversation. We talked about availability, user experience, compatibility, performance, and so much more. So without any further ado, here is my conversation with Zach. Hey, Zach, thanks so much for taking some time to join me on the Chromecast. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Very excited.
Yeah, we've been following Steam on Chromebooks and Chrome OS for a long time now. And these updates are always monumental. It's fantastic to see the progress you all are making. And this is a big one. So we're in now. Steam on Chrome OS is now in beta 108. Fantastic.
Yes, we have made it out to the beta channel and with sort of a beta level of quality. I heard you all on the podcast kind of dissecting those two different betas, but yes, absolutely. We're really excited to both expand the availability to hopefully many, many more people through that beta channel status. I'm currently on beta channel. And it's something I can use for work, unlike dev, which is a little bit dicier.
You can be like Gabe and you can get in Canary where everything's just, it's like the wild, wild west over there.
Yeah. You know, I have some very brave coworkers who make that choice. So the beta channel availability, but then of course the additional devices, those 12th gen Intel processor devices, as well as the AMD 5000C series and the i3 for the Intel Core and the Ryzen 3 for the AMD. So a big expansion of availability for folks. But then on top of that, you know, getting to that level of beta quality meant looking at that list of known issues we had and the various feedback we were getting through the gameplay reports that we have, through feedback reports, through the press and some of the experience they documented and from our internal dog fooders and testers in order to firm those up and make it a really really high quality experience that you can use to play your favorite games on and play all the way through, right? I feel like one of the major things that we did was, you know, things like performance in order to make it so that some of these games become playable. But it goes up from there all the way down to things like making sure the full screen, when you're in full screen, the battery notification pops up, right? This is one of the loudest things we heard.
Yeah.
Because people weren't that often running their battery all the way down in a full screen use case on Chrome OS. And it wasn't until we introduced this use case, got people using it, and got that feedback cycle coming that we were able to say, like, hey, that seems like an obvious thing we should do. I think you'll find, you know, both those small bits of polish as well as those real big under the hood improvements throughout this beta release.
Yeah. So and you kind of mentioned it, but just for anybody that didn't listen to that previous episode that you were talking about, that was our weekly roundup from last week, I do believe, when we were talking through this. We'll make sure to link that down in the show notes for anybody who wants to go listen to that too. But explain how you're in the beta channel, but you're also in beta launch of Steam. So just explain that for those who maybe may not understand how that works.
Yeah, so we have both the different channels of Chrome OS. So stable is the one most people are on. beta gets you some, you know, ahead of time features, but it's relatively stable and easy to use. You're not going to have a really terrible time. And then dev channel, we just don't know, right? It's actively sort of the latest and greatest code. And you can go a step further even to Canary and get the nightlies. But sometimes I've had stretches of dev working great. I've had stretches of dev crashing every time I joined a video call. So we tend not to recommend it for folks that are using that computer as their daily driver. And of course, when it comes to these high-end expensive Chromebooks, folks are using them as their daily driver, right? You don't buy one of those to keep on the shelf. And so previously when we released, we were on the dev channel and we called sort of the level of quality of the release to be an alpha quality. To indicate that there were still a lot of unknown unknowns when it came to things like stability, game support, performance, you know, real core parts of the experience. We didn't want folks to come in with the wrong expectations and you know, end up moving their device to dev channel and installing all this and then not have a good time, right? We wanted to signal that this was for the early adopters, the tinkers, the folks who are really, you know, want to give it a shot. And now we have the next step and we chose to take these two steps in lockstep, and it ended up with two different beta titles. But basically, yeah. We believe the quality of the Steam on Chrome OS product is now at a place where we feel comfortable calling it a beta. You should be able to reliably play through a whole game that's on a recommended list or something like that. You know, you shouldn't have major stability challenges day to day. There will be bugs, and it's definitely not at a full stable release state yet. But we think that you can use this on your daily driver device if you're, you know, ready to try something new and get a little bit out there without, you know, jeopardizing your ability to get work done or that sort of thing. That's the beta quality. And then, of course, that includes moving to the beta channel. And so, you know, it's entirely possible. We're still kind of working through how we want to move forward from there. So it's possible we bring a beta quality experience to the stable channel, for example. These are things we're exploring and working on. We don't have any firm plan right now. I think that's, you know, we want to make sure we're consistently messaging to users what they should expect. So that there's no surprises, right? We don't want anyone to come in and be disappointed, because I think when you look at what the team has accomplished over the last few years and how it's coming to fruition, I'm certainly very proud of that experience, and we want to make sure that folks know that we know where it's at and what we're working to fix. So
yeah, and as of right now, is it still behind a flag in beta?
It is. Channel? It's behind the Enable Borealis flag. Something else we're looking at, that's the current state.
For now, yeah. Because I remember Gabe mentioning that there's still some other Borealis flags in there, or maybe not. And I remember him saying you only need to turn on the one. That's the one that you need to do. Don't worry about the other ones.
Yes,
is that correct?
That's a good call out. Okay. Yeah. I mean, like any feature on Chrome OS, as we develop, we put different bits and pieces behind flags so that we can try with it on and off. So the default setting for all those other flags is the best one. To get an example of that, one of the things we did between alpha and beta was basically rewrite our entire storage architecture. And I'm hoping we'll get to publish some information on that on the chromeos.dev blog at some point. But you know, we needed a way to be able to switch between the old and the new as we're developing. So I think there's a Borealis storage ballooning flag that does that. You don't need to mess with that anymore because the new one is on by default.
Yeah. Talk through the changes that you did with storage. Like, what was the problem people were running into and how did you all address it?
Yeah. So at a really high level, our previous method of determining the size that the VM should be in terms of storage, right? Because it takes up space on disk that the operating system can't necessarily use when it's taken up, right? And so we need to grow or shrink the VM in proportion to the very large game files that we're often downloading as part of this project. And so previously, Valve had provided us a signal that we could see for basically how big to grow the VM on the basis of a downloaded game, right? And we would do that
based on average size or
so every, you know, Valve is actually in those cases hosting all that game content, right? So and they know that the size that they need to reserve on disk is once they unzip it, once it's downloaded. So they can actually send us a pretty reliable signal. I think we had some buffer in there. and that kind of thing. But as long as all of the game content was hosted by Steam on Valve servers, we were fine. But it turns out there's a variety of games that don't do that. They host a significant portion of their content on their own servers. And so, you know, there's, I believe, one of the Final Fantasy games did this. There's a variety of others where you would download, Steam would tell you, oh, it's only, you know, a few hundred megabytes to get that initial EXE and the, you know, launcher and that sort of thing. And then you'd launch the game and it would be like, oh, I need to download 40 gigabytes right now. And you'd be like, I don't, do I have space for that? And so then that installation would fail because we didn't know to expand the VM. And so that's the problem we were trying to solve. And we're basically using a ballooning solution based on when files are being downloaded in order to support the new storage system. And I will at that point leave it off to my engineering team. I want to make sure that I don't misspeak. Yeah. But for me, it's all magic, right? But it allows for these games to be played. It allows for actually better file performance in some cases, which is very cool. So that we can, you know, read and write more quickly, and overall, it has been, I think, significantly more robust, at least in what we've seen in terms of user feedback and that kind of thing. We're not getting the sort of bugs with installing games that we were getting before.
Is external storage on the roadmap? Is that something you all are thinking about? Because a lot of these Chromebooks, obviously, I think as this becomes more and more available, as we get into stable and that sort of thing, there will be more and more devices. And some of these devices that we have even right now that have, you know, terabyte or whatever, you know, even 512 storage. But maybe someone has a decent device that's supported that they want to play some of these games, but they want maybe that little bit of extra storage. Is external storage something you all are thinking about?
Totally. It's definitely something we're looking into and thinking about. I mean, we don't want to commit to anything yet because there's a lot of UX challenges to figure out with external storage. But certainly even in our own testing, you know, we have an amazing test team here who wants to play through a bunch of games and they want to be able to use external storage. You can actually get a version of external storage through some VMC commands in Crotch. So it is possible to do. It's a little bit involved. And it's certainly not the kind of user experience we'd want for end users of the product. So I think the real challenge there is not so much the technical side, because we can get it working with the right commands, but how do we make clear to users that, for example, we need to create an image file on your external disk that can exclusively be used for games, right? And it's just going to look like a big file that takes up all the space on your drive, right? How do we communicate that and help users, especially as they're moving these drives from their, you know, potentially from their Chromebook to another device, right? How is that going to show up and what's it going to look like? So I think that's the big challenge there. But yeah, definitely. We see the need, we feel the need ourselves. So
yeah. How closely, you've mentioned Valve a few times, and yeah, we were working with Valve on this. How closely have you all been working with Valve on this project? I'm assuming quite closely, but can you talk a little bit about that? Today's episode is brought to you by Cameo. If your organization is looking to adopt Chromebooks, but you need to give your people seamless access to all their apps, including Windows apps, Cameo is the simplest and most secure and most cost-effective way to deliver all the apps your people need to be productive on Chrome OS. Cameo is a Chrome Enterprise recommended virtualization solution and is deeply integrated with Chrome OS and the Google Admin Console, making it easy for you to push any app as a PWA to your Chromebooks. And now you can take advantage of a special Chrome OS and Cameo bundle that makes it easier than ever to test. If you're interested, you can head over to cameo.com/unboxed. That's cameo.com/unboxed, or click the link down in the show notes.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a very cool and interesting partnership because on the one hand, you know, we meet with them regularly. I got to go out to the Valve offices and in Bellevue, awesome. And it was very cool. Certainly talk to them often. But the really cool thing about this project and for the gaming ecosystem, I think at a larger scale, is that so much of what makes this possible on Chromebooks is the same stuff that's making things like the Steam Deck possible, right? It's the same. It's the same work for Linux generally, and so we actually, you know, in all of our conversations, try and minimize work that is exclusively for Chromebook, and try and maximally use solutions for the entire ecosystem so that we can benefit everyone. And so, I mean, that's good for us. It's good for Valve. It's good for the whole ecosystem. And so, as much as, you know, we're certainly in close contact and work closely together, I think at a technical level, they're able to do most things in a generic way. And that means we also benefit from all the work they're doing from things like Steam Deck.
Sure, absolutely. And that's why we were early to get one, and we're excited to test that, because it, you know, obviously, you know, we're all about Chromebooks, but making a video about that and showing, look, all of the work that's happening in Proton and some of these things that are happening on this are what's allowing and what will allow this to work on Chromebooks in the future. Can you just, I think for somebody listening who maybe it isn't familiar exactly with what we're talking about explicitly, can you kind of go through the basics of how some of this is working, how exactly you all are getting these games that are exe files to run on a Chromebook? And is it happening locally? Is it happening in this VM? How is it happening? Because there's been these new devices that have come out. We have some cloud gaming focused Chromebooks that were just announced, and this announcement is kind of coming right after that. And I think just maybe try to, if you can, from a very high level, explain what exactly Steam, how exactly you all are doing this for Chromebooks, and how maybe it's similar to Steam Deck, since you mentioned that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, to start at a really high level, we're seeing some really exciting changes and shifts in the gaming landscape generally, and the PC gaming landscape specifically. One of those is the growth of cloud services, which we're really excited to see, and the experiences that that enables, including on those new devices. Another is the ability to run PC games in more places than they've ever been run before, right? And so that means in the cloud, but that also means on local open source environments, specifically Linux. And so there's a few things that have enabled that. Definitely Valve's work on Proton is one of the very biggest. And for those who aren't familiar, Proton is a compatibility tool that allows, it's based on services like Wine VXDK, DXVK, there we go. DXVK, which converts DirectX graphics commands into Vulkan, which is the new sort of state-of-the-art graphics API, right? And Vulkan has played a big part in this as well, in simply providing a really powerful, robust, open graphics API that can compete with the best in the business, right? And so we've got this combination of Vulkan, and then the things built on top of it, including DXVK and Proton, and, you know, big players like Valve investing in this area. And what we can do now is run games that were originally intended to be run on a Windows PC, and run them in a Linux environment, and run them with, you know, often either a very small performance delta, or sometimes no performance delta. And I think this is a huge part of what makes this possible, is that, you know, we're not doing some sort of very heavyweight emulation or something of that nature. We're doing this compatibility translation, and it's allowing us to run these games at very performant play in a very performant way. And so, this gave us a pretty neat opportunity on Chrome OS, given our investment in virtual environments and the fact that Chrome OS is based on Linux. It's based on x86 architecture, which all these games are written for. To create a Linux VM that can run all of these games, whether they're written for Linux directly or written for Windows, and run via Proton, and run the Steam client, which is built for Linux in this case, and has all these features to manage the compatibility tools and help install them. And so, from the Chrome OS perspective, the big breakthrough innovations are things that have made this possible. One is the ability to virtualize Vulkan really effectively, right? So on Chrome OS, we're based on Linux, but we have a very high security bar and want to make sure we're running things in a virtualized environment. And so being able to virtualize Vulkan effectively through a piece of code called Venus has been a big part of that. And then the other piece of it, which is the UI portion that I think is easy to miss because it's intentionally invisible, is the way that we've integrated the VM into the operating system such that you can't tell it's in a VM, right? You go to the launcher to launch Steam, you can see it in settings. There's not, you never get a Linux wallpaper in the background or that kind of thing. We want to make this as seamless and easy to use as possible. And so that's a really big component of it, in addition to the sort of low-level graphics and virtualization work, is actually how to present this in a user that looks and feels like Steam and games on other PCs and other platforms.
Yeah, the installation process that you just mentioned previously, there was the token UX, which we really liked. We thought that was really clever, but that's gone now. Correct. Now that you all have moved into beta, you can simply turn on the flag, obviously, but then open it up in your write-in. Is that correct?
So you do need to search for Steam in the launcher, and then when you search, it's not in your launcher, it's in the search results. When you search for it, then you can launch it. And we'll continue to evolve this over time, but it's quite a bit easier than figuring out how Crosh works and using the insert coin command. I will say the insert coin command still works, and the ASCII art is still there.
Oh, cool.
The tokens have all been removed, so you don't need any specific token. But if you need to get to the ASCII art to copy it so you can put it on a t-shirt like I may have done earlier this week, it's still there.
Oh, yes. I love that. We've worked with Cotton Bureau in the past to do some shirt designs, and we might have to look into something like that, Zach. That's a great idea.
Love it.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's just like, obviously those were fun little kind of Easter eggs as we were in, the alpha state, and really it was the super early adopters like Gabriel who's really trying to get this running before it was ever even ready, but now it's opening it up to more and more people. And you mentioned some of the processors earlier, but let's talk through and make sure that everybody knows kind of which devices are now available. Because when this was kind of first announced that it was out and it was, in alpha, we were looking at 11th gen, correct? And now we've got 12th gen and some others. So I'm assuming the 11th gen was just because of availability. Like at that time, there weren't a ton of 12th gens, and now we've got obviously more and more 12th gens out. Just kind of talk through what sort of availability we've got, and what if someone maybe has a device, what should they expect on that sort of processor, and then if they want to go get a device, and they're all in, they're like, hey, I want to buy a device for this now. I know it's coming in stable eventually, and I want to go and get a device. What might that device look like?
Yeah. So, as you say, back when we launched in the alpha, we had the 11th gen processors. That's because 12th gen was just coming on the scene and we hadn't had any development time with that. And so it was what we'd been using and what we'd been testing with. And so I started with the i5 and i7. So on the Intel side, the two big changes, one is the addition of 12th gen, and the other is support for i3 devices for both 11th and 12th. And so, you can certainly expect a difference in game performance overall between the i3, the i5, and the i7, especially on that 11th gen. The i3 is not yet on those Evo graphics. You're not going to quite have the same sort of experience. But we saw, when we were making the decision to enable it, we basically looked at our user feedback reports internally and some of our test results and said, people are enjoying playing games on this, right? It's not the same games always, and it's not all the games, but we don't want to hold that back. And that's something that these devices couldn't do that now they can, and people are enjoying it. So let's make it happen. And please, my plea to everyone is, if you are using one of these devices, please send us gameplay reports. They're so, so important for us to prioritize game fixes, see what's working and what's not, and plan the next generation of the software. So that's I'll probably say that about four more times. But and then I don't want to miss the AMD side, because that's really important. It's our first AMD devices that we supported, the 5000C series AMD, and that's Ryzen 3, Ryzen 5, and Ryzen 7. So again, you know, we expect to see performance improve as you go up that line. There'll be games that work on R7 that don't work on R3. You know, AMD has been a great partner. You know, we know they've made huge investments in gaming, and really excited to see the performance we're getting out of these devices and some of the games that they enable.
Yeah. What sort of, so obviously, you know, the higher you go on these processors, you know, the better, obviously the better performance. As far as storage goes and RAM, what should folks be looking at?
Yeah. So our minimum.
And what are their requirements right now?
For those? Yeah. So our minimum RAM requirement, this is the big one, is 8 gigabytes. And that is because, right now, you know, we're basically dealing with some amount of additional memory overhead for running a virtual machine. And so we want to make sure you have enough RAM to play those games. It's something we want to improve and bring down over time. But, you know, we also want folks to be able to actually launch into games. And in that vein, I will say there are games that don't work on 8 gigabyte devices today that you might potentially expect to work. And that's because of RAM. So a place of investment for us, certainly a place we're going to double down between now and stable, but a good known issue to call out. So, when people ask what specs to go for, I tend to recommend 16 gigabytes, as really the best experience. That's also going to, you know, just give you a lot of future proofing and that sort of thing. I think it's the best way to experience Chrome OS. And then the second is, you know, kind of as much storage as you can find in a device with that processor and that 16 gigabytes of RAM. If you intend to play really big games that are, you know, 100 gigabytes, which we see quite a few of, if that's not your thing, if your thing is more indie 2D platformers, you may not need that much storage. But given that external storage is not yet supported, you know, if you can find 512, go for 512 is kind of my rule of thumb.
Okay. Yeah, I think, you know, and I think I read in the blog post, like, the general recommendation would be an i5 or Ryzen 5 with that 16 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, I would say.
And then obviously just kind of make your storage decision based on what type of games you think you're going to be downloading and playing.
Totally. That'd be my recommendation.
Okay.
The only other thing I might recommend in terms of, you know, different device specs is that on the new cloud gaming oriented devices, they do have 120 hertz display, or 144 hertz in the case of the Asus, I think. Now you're not going to get that on The Witcher 3, right? You're not going to get that on Skyrim. But some indie games, some platformer games look really great on that display. And so I would investigate that if those are available in your region. I think that will certainly help not only your Steam gaming experience with the local gaming, but also your cloud gaming experience, and you'll be able to experience both in kind of their best form.
And Chrome OS looks great. that was our thing with the Acer at the 516GE that has the 120 hertz. It just, Chrome OS looks fantastic. All of your animations, everything looks good, and then obviously gameplay looks great. And yeah, I think I had read in the blog post you all had in this update made some adjustments for higher resolution displays and scaling and that sort of thing. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a couple aspects here. Some are still a work in progress, and I can get into those a little bit because I think they're a very interesting space. But the big one that we called out in the blog post was previously, if you had like a QHD display, basically the way that we were scaling was giving you a pretty big performance hit, even if the game itself was rendering at a lower resolution. So, right, like you might, one of the first things you do to try and get better performance out of a game is drop the resolution to a lower resolution, and you weren't getting that benefit. And so there are a lot of games that suddenly became unplayable on a QHD display with the same hardware otherwise, right? And this was really bad for devices like those cloud gaming devices with the QHD displays, right? And so we did a bunch of work to ensure that basically now we're doing direct scaling and skipping a bunch of steps. And that ensures that you are getting the performance benefit of lowering the resolution, not just on QHD displays or 4K displays, but also on lower resolution displays where you're simply dropping the resolution of the game to something like 1600 by 900, right? And so I think this is a huge win for game performance and compatibility because it allows the user a really powerful lever to change the performance that they're seeing from that particular game. So that was a big piece. The other piece that we're still looking into, and there's actually a flag for this. This is the one other flag you might want to play with. Is there's a you can render the client at and some other pieces of UI within the VM at a 2x scale. And so this is really nice, like on those QHD or UHD displays. And so basically right now we're trying to figure out the right DPI point to make that change automatically. So for example, I have a 2K monitor and a 2K Chromebook, and the way things render looks great on my 2K monitor that's 29 inches and is way too tiny on my 2K monitor that is 14 inches, right? And so there's a DPI breakpoint in there where we can make that changeover, and it's just a matter of figuring out where the right spot is.
Yeah. I was sitting here thinking about like folks that have a ton of games in their Steam library. Are they able to get this up and running and play every single game in their Steam library?
No.
Or are there recommended games? And if so, what number of games are you all recommending at this point?
Yeah, so it's a good question, and I think it's good to clarify that not every game is going to work out on the box. There's a variety of things we're still working through. There's a long pull of things like anti-cheat support and that sort of thing where we're seeing some traction, but the ecosystem really needs to make some moves. But I think, and another outlet said this, I think you'll be surprised by the number of games that do work, and that's my hope. And so right now we have a list of 100 recommended games on the chromegamer.org page. I know they work because I played them all myself at some point or another. We have an amazing test team and an amazing gameplay report feedback, and you kind of incorporate all and you get a short list. I really just wanted to be sure that people had good experiences with these games. So I did go through and at least play through a level or two. Tell you what, 20 minutes of 100 games is a very strange way to play video games, but it was
just a little sneak peek of each of them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I have a lot of games I want to play more of now. But that's a good place to start. It certainly doesn't hurt to try your favorite games. You may need to enable Steam Play, and there's instructions on the Chromium.org page for that as well. That will basically tell Steam to use Proton with that game or a certain version of Proton. But and send us your gameplay reports when you do try those games. I think the important thing that I bring up in this context a lot is the momentum that we're seeing. Right. If you look at the Steam Deck and its catalog of verified and playable games, it's growing all the time, and it's growing at a pretty amazing rate. We're seeing game developers start to make changes specifically to work better with this environment. And we will see those benefits on Chrome OS as well, because we're based on Arch Linux, just like the Steam Deck. We're using the same compatibility tools and that sort of thing. So, there are definitely some games that don't work, but the trajectory is really exciting, and we're excited to see more and more. I will add a good tool if you want to check quickly before you download a 100 GB game. ProtonDB is a user sourced website where users talk about the compatibility of different games with Proton. It's not a guarantee that it will work on Chrome OS. But it is a good indicator if, for example, multiplayer has been blocked by a certain anti-cheat for Linux. You don't have to waste your time on that game.
Now, if developers are listening, and I'm thinking we actually work in a co-working space with an indie game developer who I think they're working on a new project now, but they built Kentucky Route Zero, and so like I'm thinking about him or others who might be listening to this, and they're like, yeah, we want to make sure that our game works. I mean, if it's on Steam, it's there, and we want to make sure it works on all of these devices. What sort of resources are you all providing, or where might they go to learn more about how they can optimize their game for Steam on Chrome OS? But then also, I guess kind of a follow-up question that would be, if they make those changes, are those universal between Steam Deck and Chrome OS?
Yes. So it's a great question. And I think at a high level, you know, we are trying to, as I mentioned earlier, be as generally compatible with the Linux gaming ecosystem as possible. So our goal in our compatibility efforts is to make sure that there's not such a thing as a Chrome OS specific change, that you are making a change for your game in these various Linux environments. That may not end up being the case in practice, but it's certainly our goal. So
absolutely,
yeah. I would say for developers that want to see if their games work well, if you already have a Steam Deck or access to an Arch Linux gaming box, try it there and see how it works with Proton. If you already have access to a Chromebook that supports Steam on Chromebook, that's definitely the best way to check. I think if you have a device that you can install a recent Arch Linux build on and install Steam and play your game from there, that's a really good way to see sort of where it's at. It's a good gut check. And then from there, we do have an email alias on the website. If folks want to reach out to us, if they have questions, if you're experiencing Chrome OS specific issues that don't replicate in another Linux environment, but any interest, we'd love to talk to you. I think compatibility tools and that sort of thing can get us a long way, but ultimately this has to be a collaboration with the game developer community, and we're excited to go on that journey.
Yeah. What is that website that you referenced?
Yeah, it's g.co/steam-on-chrome-os.
And we'll make sure to link it in the show notes for sure. So I think that's fantastic. And, you know, I think, I love this. You know, we obviously love open source, and we love that you all are doing things that will hopefully, benefit others outside of, the work that you're doing for Chrome OS. I had one other follow-up question on devices earlier, and I should have asked it then, but what about discrete GPUs? We've been tracking and hoping that we'll see Chromebooks and devices with discrete GPUs. Is that something that you all are tracking, or is that anything that you can talk about as far as maybe something on the roadmap or a wish list item, I guess, that you all might have?
Yeah, so I can't say a lot other than it's certainly my dream device. I would love something like that. I think gaming is an area of real investment for Chromebooks. We're going to continue to try new hardware innovations like we did with the cloud gaming devices. I think it's a very interesting space right now, because there's both the really amazing discrete GPUs that are becoming available in laptops. There's also things like in the Steam Deck, which has integrated graphics from AMD, but they're really powerful integrated graphics. And so it's a really exciting time to be thinking about super performant graphics in mobile devices.
Yeah. And then, like, down the road, my dream would be that we could even then have external GPU support, and Chrome OS could support that, and then we can get video editors and all kinds of other fun stuff. One step at a time. We've always speculated about this, but can you tell us where the code name Borealis came from?
Yes, and it was a look. The project had started at that point before I came on, but I will say your 99% theory in the recent podcast was correct, as far as I know.
Okay. All right. Well, Gabe was spot on. He did his research, right. So that's awesome.
That's right.
So you've mentioned it a few times, but let's as we're kind of wrapping up here, let's make sure that everyone understands if they're playing a game and they are having issues. Obviously, we're still in beta here, and you all are wanting feedback. How can people give you all feedback?
Yes. Two really important ways. One is at the end of a game session, Once that window closes, you should see a notification in your notifications bar that says, how was your gameplay experience? If you can click that notification and fill out that form, that goes straight to my inbox. So be nice, but tell us what you experienced, tell us what went wrong, or what worked.
Yeah.
And it's especially important if it's a positive experience. I that's how I figured out which games to put on the list, frankly, was based on those positive feedback reports. So whether it was good or bad, let us know. The second thing I'll mention is sometimes a game crashes and we don't get a notification. Sometimes something goes wrong with the entire VM and it crashes and you don't get a notification. If you ever don't get a notification but you want to send feedback about something that went wrong, the normal Chrome OS feedback report flow is also very good. Just use hashtag Steam in there. And you can access that by pressing the Alt-Shift-I keyboard shortcut. So a really helpful way for us to know, and that includes logs and things that can help us diagnose the issue.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think it's cool too to definitely, if you have a good experience, make sure to give that feedback as well. One thing that we had noticed on the Steam Deck was the section of games that I think were called Works with Steam Deck. Or I might be misremembering this, but like basically featured games or a section of games that definitely work well and that you all want to highlight. Is that something you're thinking about for Steam on Chromebook, and will that be part of maybe a special landing page or something when they open this up?
Yeah, you know, I think certainly it is both our goal and Valve's goal to make sure that users are finding games that work great on their particular device and guide them to those games. Planning there is still pretty early, and so we don't have a ton to share just yet. But we are actively in conversation about this with Valve and trying to figure out the best path for figuring out what those games are and then where to promote them.
Yeah. Excellent, Zach. Well, thanks so much for taking the time. We could probably sit here and talk for another hour, but I'll be mindful of your time. And I do really appreciate you coming on the show today and filling people in. There was a several great things that you mentioned that we'll make sure to link down in the show notes and everything. Definitely your main website that we'll put out there. And yeah, we just love the work that you all are doing. We've been following this from the beginning. Gabe, you know, Gabe's an old school Source gamer and loves those games and has been, you know, just so excited to be able to play those sorts of games on a Chromebook. And it's just this next phase of Chrome OS that we're just knocking down these barriers. Well, yeah, I would get a Chromebook, but I can't do this or I can't do that. And we're just knocking those down over time. And we just appreciate the work that you all are doing and keep it up.
Thank you, Joe. And a huge thank you to the entire Chromebook community. It is not an exaggeration to say we could not do this without the support and engagement with folks that are out there playing games, giving reports, asking us for this feature in the first place, right? It was an easy sell with all the asks that we got. So yeah, very, very excited, happy, and grateful to be part of this really cool Chromebook community. So
yeah, congratulations on beta, and we're excited for the next launch whenever that comes. And yeah, keep it up. But that's it for this one, folks. Zach, again, I appreciate it. We'll Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunbox.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.